Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there, everybody. How are you this morning on a Monday, a reaction Monday here on Sports Daily? And boy, do we have a lot to react to. A full football weekend. We had high school football. We had college football. We had NFL football. Nobody was on a bye. We had Sunday night football keeping us up way too late. I don't know if you stayed up to see a 40-40 tie last night, TJ, but that was a little ridiculous. You know, between the Europeans winning the Ryder Cup and a big-time NFL game ending in a tie, big weekend for non-American sports things.
Not only did I stay up to get the Sunday night football, I was sitting in a McDonald's parking lot on my way back from Kansas City last night trying to follow what was going on. It was listening to Mike Tirico, and then he kept screaming. I had to stop and watch the George Pickens touchdown because that's how crazy of a game it was last night.
You could hear the game, of course, last night right here on Sunday Night Football coverage provided by Westwood One on KFH. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you. Of course, the Chiefs played yesterday. We'll get you all of the Chiefs reaction. We have Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs insider, joining us a little bit later. We've got K-State to react to in just a few minutes here. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, is going to join us as K-State gets back in the win column, thankfully. Not a great weekend for KU, not a great ending for KU. I don't think it was a terrible game for KU or anything, just a tough ending. We'll get into that as well. Take a look around the rest of the NFL. It is a jam-packed Monday, as it always is here on the program. Always also expecting to mix in Jalen Thompson for a Royals postmortem today as this regular season of Major League Baseball is in the books. It's all brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. What's on Tap? Brought to you by WBC, featuring Yumkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer. It's made with actual pumpkin, served with a spiced rim. Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. So there it is, TJ. We had the 40-40 tie last night. The Chiefs get the 37-20 win. Let's briefly hit that. That's where you were yesterday. We'll briefly hit it because we're going to have Wyatt Thompson in a few minutes, and it'll be a minute before we get into our deep dive on the Chiefs. But, hey, the offense finally looked good, and we were talking last night on Sports Sunday. I don't really care, quite frankly, that the Ravens were banged up. It was a factor. I'm not ignoring that it was a factor. It was 100% a factor. But just to see them do that, I don't care who it's against, was great.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that they haven't done that against anybody. And I think that, you know, you can make the argument about the injuries, but a banged up Ravens defense is still, you know, pretty good defense based on what they do and their schematics and everything like that. And so I agree. You walk away from this feeling better about the Chiefs than you do feeling worse about the Ravens, I would imagine. As a Ravens fan, the only person that may feel differently about that, we'll have to ask PJ Glasser later in the week. But yeah, awesome performance from the Chiefs offense. This is like pulling your hair out for the last 2 years waiting to see something like that, I think.
It's what I thought, and, you know, I don't know what you thought before this. I've thought going into this year healthy, you know, not knowing injuries, suspensions, whatever, that the Chiefs had a chance to be one of the top offenses in football. They finally looked like they weren't going to have some of the deficiencies. It started with Josh Simmons is going to be better than what they had at left tackle. Even if he's not great, he's going to be better. So you start there. Rashee Rice comes back at some point, but at, you know, before we knew he was suspended with Worthy and another year of Kelce, and Kelce looked slimmer and leaner and all these things. It was like, man, Patrick Mahomes about to have one of those kinds of Patrick Mahomes seasons. And then the bottom falls out. You get the suspension, you get the injury, you get all of these things happening. And it's like, okay, well, they're not going to be there yet. Can they get there? Becomes the question. Yesterday may have been an indication that in fact they can, and we'll see what happens. Something, you know, we talk about all this passing, but TJ, I think it's worth noting that the running backs carried the ball 24 times in the game, even in a game like that. Now through the last two or three, it hasn't been, you know, world beating, but they have committed to running the ball. And yeah, Xavier Worthy got a couple carries too, to inflate the yardage. The running backs had 88 yards on 24 carries, which is not terrible. It's not great, but it's just them committing to it that I think is worth noting, because that's something they haven't done in the past. You know, the pass game looked great. Mahomes looked great. Worthy looked great, but they did still commit to running the ball, even in a game like that. I thought that was meaningful.
I think that that's kind of twofold. I think that one, it was the first time that we've seen anything meaningful from Breshard Smith, the rookie running back, and he's going to be really good. You know, they're still leaning him into the offense, but I think that his role by the end of the season is going to be pretty huge, and he could be something of what we saw like Jerick McKinnon, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. The other part of this, we talked to Isaiah Pacheco last night in the locker room, is that you know, he said, he's like, everybody talks about when Xavier Worthy comes back, it helps other wide receivers get open. It takes, you know, it opens up the running game as well, because you're going to have guys drop back in coverage. When you have Tyquan Thornton and Xavier Worthy on the field, it opens everything up and allows for those opportunities. So, you know, obviously just complimentary football is what the name of the game is. That's what the Chiefs aimed to do last night, and they did that. And so I think that, you know, as you said, not a great yards per carry by the running back room, but that's fine. Like, we've seen absolutely nothing from the running back room and nothing but the pass. And so I think that just committing to it and getting something out of it to take the pressure off of your offense it's going to be ginormous for this team.
And then, of course, the defense looked great again. Steve Spagnuolo, man, this guy may need to go to the Hall of Fame as a defensive coordinator. Do we do that in the NFL? I know we don't. But, like, the Ravens lost Lamar Jackson late into the game, and that played a factor, but they were in control defensively of this after the opening drive. They did exactly what they wanted to do. They made Lamar Jackson comfortable, and that's something Steve Spagnuolo has been comfortable with over his career, is making Lamar Jackson slightly uncomfortable. But with all of this, and when we were predicting Chiefs, me personally, I did not see them being this good defensively again this year. And they have been. And that raises the floor in every game that they play, especially every game while they're still not at full strength. It's allowed them to be in all the games they've played this year. And yeah, we'll get into, you know, down the road and the future for this team and everything else. But I don't want to overdo too much out of one game. I don't. But it's against that team.
I know.
Their backs against the wall. I mean, it just feels like a pretty big deal.
I mean, if we're going to talk about the Giants' first half, as poorly as we talked about the Giants' first half, they deserve the praise for beating a Ravens team like this. And that defense, I agree. I mean, there were so many questions about, you know, there's no Justin Reed, who wasn't, you know, the best in your secondary, but he's a huge part of it. There's a lot of guys that had to step up in your secondary. And then you had some preseason injuries to your secondary. And, you know, Jalen Watson has stood up and played awesome this year. You know, the defensive front has been awesome this year with, you know, the Karlaftis extension.
Still not a lot of not a lot of sacks.
Yeah, but just contain. I mean, like,
yeah.
Just Spags with what he's got is just, as you said, it's unbelievable. And, you know, I haven't looked at the box score. I need to dig into it more. But it's like, I don't even remember like seeing anything outside of like a one Derrick Henry long rush. Like I don't remember him doing anything.
They always do a good job. I don't think teams are going to run on them a lot this year. It's can they get enough pass rush? Can they stop a good pass game? And they did for a lot of that game. I mean, I know Lamar Jackson got hurt and he would have piled up more numbers, but it was a good performance. It was. All right. We'll get more on the Chiefs a little bit later in this hour. Josh Briscoe joins us next hour to talk Chiefs. When we come back, though, Wyatt Thompson in. How about those K-State Wildcats? Wildcat fans, how you feeling this morning? We'll discuss next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome you back in here to Sports Daily. Glad to be with you. And we are glad to be joined by the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, in with us here this morning. And Wyatt, for the first time this year, we can be a little chipper when we're talking about K-State football. Isn't that crazy? For the first time this year, what did we just finish up? Week 5? And we finally get the opportunity to be excited about what we saw out there. And we are excited about what we saw out there. How are you, Wyatt?
Well, I'm doing very, very well. Great to be on with you guys. I think one of the things that really stood out from the get-go was just the passion and the energy. And I kind of felt like, in all honesty, we were going to see that. Coach Klieman talked a lot about getting back to who we are and what we do and doing it our way and those types of things. And part of that is just being tough and physical and playing with emotion. And they even got a penalty at one point for celebration, and I think he loved it, if I'm being honest. So, yeah, it was a heck of a game, heck of a day. Perfect? No, but certainly a good one. We'll take it and move on.
Wyatt Thompson, you know, you talk a lot about this team. Did you imagine in any of your years calling Kansas State football that Lincoln Cure's first stat was going to be an interception?
That's
they were creative,
question, and it's the perfect reason I am not a betting man. Right? I mean, who would have thought that? Now, again, with that said, you know, I see some things sometimes. So I wasn't like stunned because I'd seen him practice it before. But yeah, that would have been way, way, way down the line, to be honest with you.
What do you make of, you know, Matt Wells getting creative there? You know, Lincoln Cure doing that. We saw Blake Barnett make his college debut running the ball around. It felt like, you know, coming out of the bye week, it was like, let's try something, you know?
Yeah, and I think some of that has been dictated by, you know, Dylan Edwards. You hoped and you thought he was healthy, and certainly that, I'm sure, will be something that we'll talk about here in a little bit, and it was so great to have him back that way. But, you know, Joe Jackson had been dinged up a little bit, Devon Rice a little bit, not awful, but just enough to maybe, you know, make some difference. And I think they, you know, during the bye week said, let's give him a different look and try Blake. I think a lot of people don't know a lot about him yet, but I really, really think he's going to be a good player. He's mm-hmm. from Erie, Colorado, and he can really run. He can spin it too, but he's 225 pounds, and I thought he was pretty good in there for his first time out, to be honest.
Yeah, it was good all around. Wyatt, as K-State gets the 34-20 win over a previously unbeaten UCF team. I think most of us realized UCF was not a world beater. They were receiving votes, but didn't really matter, honestly. Like, we've seen K-State lose to Army. We've seen K-State should have lose to North Dakota. So I don't care who it was against. We just needed to see them play well. And that, more than anything, they played well. They played at least up to, you know, close to what we thought they would be this year.
Yeah, I think if you're being even overly critical, the one thing that you're going to point to is maybe some of the shock plays that they gave up defensively in the second half. But even defensively, I thought they were pretty good. And frankly, while we're talking about that, I want to tell you, too, I thought, and still do, I think Alex Grinch has done a great job with the UCF defense. They're flying around. They were out there a lot, right? But they're so much better defensively than they've been the last couple of years from my perspective. Now, back to K-State, I thought Avery played a rock-solid game. Dylan makes such a difference. I think everybody, if you didn't know that, you certainly saw it firsthand on Saturday. I think the offensive line was a little bit better. I'm anxious to see what Coach Kleiman says about that today after reviewing film and looking at that, because it is an area where we had a major concern, frankly, going into the game this weekend, and you, if you're going to get it kind of turned a little bit, it had to, let's be honest, it had to start last Saturday, and I'm happy for those guys. Lots of emotion in that locker room after lots of emotion on the field. That's awesome to see.
Wyatt, you alluded to this a little bit. We were joking on the show last week about, man, like, if it's only Dylan Edwards is the problem with this offense, then Dylan Edwards might have a chance to go win a Heisman at running back. There's been that many problems. But he comes out and runs for 160 yards. What does he do, you know, as a player, and then what does that open up for the offense?
Well, it's a good question, because I think the great part about him, and there are several great parts, is his ability to run and the shock value of that. I mean, you have to respect where he's at constantly, and that, in theory, is going to help everybody else. I think it helped Avery. I think it helped in the pass game. There were a couple of drops. I think Garrett Oakley would like to have a couple back, but for the most part, I thought Tibbs took a step forward. We're seeing K-State put together those kind of pass numbers. And how about this? Without Jace Brown, Jace started in the game but didn't have a catch. And he's been kind of dinged up a little bit. Not a lot was talked about that, but that snapped a streak of 25 straight games with at least one catch for him. So to do that without Jace, it was great to have Dylan. But he can catch the ball. He has really, really good speed and shiftiness. And I asked him off air, were you in full gear there running down the sideline? He said, yeah, pretty much. So it's great to have him back and being able to do that. He brings a lot to the table.
Wyatt, I don't know in your conversations with people after the game if you know the answer to this, but Avery Johnson has 30 or 40% higher, you know, rate of running than we've seen. To me, it looked like more of it was designed just to not. I don't want to say to force the issue, but like reintroduce the element of his game that is intentionally, which I think is what a lot of fans have been asking for. I know having Dylan Edwards helps do that, but did you get a sense of what the goal was there and how they felt about getting him on the move just a little bit more?
It's a wonderful question. And I think the easy answer for me is I think Matt Wells, Chris Kleiman, and Avery Johnson wanted to see Avery Johnson run the ball a little bit more. So how do you go about it? What's the best way, right? Because the one thing that is not going to change is they want to keep him as healthy and upright as possible, because we've got a lot of football to play with 7 regular season games to go. But I think I'm going to say just kind of open the gate a little bit and let him kick it open a little bit farther. Most of it, I think you are accurate there too. It was designed. And I think he's also exceptionally dangerous when he, you know, is in the pocket and things break down a little bit and he can get into a one-on-one situation. And I'm hopeful, frankly, to see more of that. But I hope I'm answering the question. But I think generally speaking, Jacob, that it was more quarterback run design. And I thought it was a good plan. It's easy to say that when you have success. But, I mean, the thing is I've said this before all season long with the frustration with the fans and all of us for him not running as much. We're not talking about 20 or 25 runs, you know, maybe in that 12 to 15 range. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm going to guess he ran it, what, 12 or 13 times? Just guessing. 12. Yeah.
So Wyatt, as we said last week, you know, the cup in your house is always half full. After a win like this, you know, the next 5 weeks are daunting. Baylor, TCU, KU, Texas Tech. What do you take away from this? And, you know, how much, you know, better do you feel about this team going into that stretch?
Well, I feel better, but more importantly, I think they feel better. It's going to be a lot easier coming in, like yesterday as an example, to get in that tub and, you know, work on, you know, bumps and bruises and look at film and now get into, you know, game week for Baylor. Baylor is 3-2. They haven't been perfect, but like K-State, they've played a good schedule for the most part. They've been on a terrific win for them at SMU after a really hard loss at home where they got thumped at the line of scrimmage by Auburn. I think this is a really quality football team in some ways. I don't know that they're as good defensively as, you know, some of us thought early, but they have good personnel. But what you do like is Sawyer Robertson, the quarterback. He's been outstanding. He's had at least 3 touchdown passes in every single game this year. That's awfully good production. And the scary part is that he has weapons. He has one of the best tight ends in the country in Michael Trigg. Cole Wilson has been a great addition from Texas State. There were a couple of guys from Texas State that came with Jake Spavital, their new offensive coordinator, and Jake's done a really good job too. It's a really good offensive football team. So there's a lot of work to do to get ready to kind of close those guys down a little bit. And you know what? I don't want to sound like a coach, but keeping him shut down, or maybe not shut down, but slowed down the best way, if he's on the sideline. So that means K-State's got to run the ball. They've got to throw the ball. They've got to keep and possess the ball, maybe win time at possession. Who knows? But this will be a challenging game from my perspective.
Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, joining us. TJ brought up had a little fun there with the Lincoln Cure interception. I do think it's interesting that the offense, and I know it came after a bye week, so I guess I'm curious at how much of this you think on regular, you know, weeks we will see, but not, it wasn't just that play. It was the Blake Barnett package, right? Where he comes in and runs the ball, is the quarterback for a while. It was certainly more wrinkles and creativity mixed in. Is that a product of an extra week to prepare, Wyatt? Or do you think, is that an intentional thing that we will begin to see now moving forward?
I think it's a little of both. If I'm being honest with you, I think during those, I think I mentioned last week that after the Friday night loss, you get back late, the coordinators stayed behind, all the other coaches went out to recruit, and there were a lot of one-on-one meetings with Matt Wells and Chris Kleiman and Joe Klanderman and Chris Kleiman. Chris coach admitted to that. Then you get the staff involved, then you get the, you know, the players involved, probably captains first and then the rest of the group, and I think they responded. And I think they wanted to do several things, but one is to get back to tough physical football, as I said before, but also let's fly around and have some fun, right? So many people had talked about, man, I just don't see any emotion out of this group. And I don't think it was necessarily intentional, but I think after the hard loss to Iowa State, there was some hangover there, and then it got a little worse and a little worse. And now let's go back to the drawing board. So I'll be surprised if we don't see some of that. And I think most people would too.
Well, let me pull out a name here and let you talk about him. Quay Moss was a Division II guy, correct?
Yes. Yeah, from West Georgia. And not the biggest guy, TJ, but you see his athleticism and his want to. He kind of reminds me a couple of guys that we've had here in recent times. He's really athletic, and he just fights for the ball. One of the first times I saw him in spring, there was a guy that he was covering on a little drag route across the middle, and the guy caught the ball, and he didn't get him tackled, but he was sitting there beating at that ball and trying to knock it away. And I thought, okay, this guy is going to be a ball hawk. And I think it's turned out to be the case. Again, he's kind of filled that position and done a pretty good job with it. So I really think that, I mean, you saw the interception, dude. That was special.
That's awesome.
There are a lot of people still talking about maybe one of the best they've seen in a while, and put me in that category. I'm sure I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I mean, you saw it. It was spectacular, yeah. Man.
It was nuts. He's the true psychopath defensive back, wearing no gloves, baggy t-shirt, jumping on people's heads and making interceptions like that.
Yeah, and you know what? We need a guy like that, right? Yeah. I think we have, you didn't ask about this, but the truth is, you know, I think we have some really good young people in this program and some leaders, but some of them are more like what Austin Moore was a year ago, a lead by example kind of guy, as opposed to, you know, that rah-rah thing. I think Quay could be one of those guys that could, you know, get in people's face. You have to have respect of your teammates to be a really quality leader and be able to lead when things aren't good, right? Well, somebody did a pretty good job in the last week, and I would say to you guys, I think it was more than somebody. I think it was a lot of people that had a hand in it.
Yeah, it certainly appeared that way. One more, Wyatt, before we let you go. It's not, you know, we don't want to be all rosy here, right? Moving forward, a correctable item. What did you make of the run defense? They gave up 200 yards. 100 of those came on two carries, though.
Right.
Well, so, like, are we satisfied with the way they played? Was it just, you know, unfortunate that a couple of big plays get in? Because we know in this league, you got to be better there if you want to beat good teams.
Yeah, so based on what you just said, and I agree 1,000% with that, you've got to be a little bit better in your fits, and you got to tackle better. I'll give UCF a little tip of the cap. I think they did some things that maybe surprised K-State. The longest plays are the ones that hurt the most, right? That's an obvious statement, but you've got to get that cleaned up. And if they do that with the way they played most of the rest of the day, you know, I think they can get to quarterbacks, and I think they can compete on a lot of plays, but boy, you just can't give up that many big plays and you win the game. But a lot of times if you do that, in particular on the road, you won't. And so I think that's a big deal. The other thing that's, you talked about not rosy, certainly you have to be concerned about the wide receiver room and how beat up they are right now. We saw, you know, several guys. I mean, Jace wasn't really, he started the game, but they got him out of there pretty quickly. It just didn't feel like he was, you know, where he could go. And a couple other guys get dinged up. So knock on wood, maybe most of those guys will be available this week.
Yeah, it'll be a big one. We'll have it for you here at K-State Radio Network as the Cats continue to build some momentum in Waco against Baylor. Saturday, another early kick. Wyatt and the gang will have you on the K-State Radio Network right here on KFH. Wyatt, good luck. Safe travels this week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Enjoy the visit. Appreciate you.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. Always a great conversation. Hey, thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up this morning after we had some late Sunday night football in a tie. We'll get to that, plus a deeper dive into the Chiefs as we make our way through here on this Monday. We've got to talk KU as well, TJ. We've got to talk a little Ryder Cup happened over the weekend. We've got a bit of reacting to do on a Reaction Monday.
It was. It was a crazy weekend. You know, I was at KU all day on Saturday and the Chiefs all day on Sunday. So my wife's a big golf watcher, so she was locked in, keeping me all the Ryder Cup updates. I was getting calls of her explaining what she was seeing because she couldn't believe it. So the only football that she watched was, I think, the Penn State Oregon, because it was the late game when there was no golf on, and Sunday Night Football because there was no golf on.
I kind of tuned out of the Ryder Cup after Saturday. I mean, I love the Ryder Cup, love it. And we'll get
into tough weekend to have it. This is an awesome football weekend.
Yeah, some of the storylines and stuff. But I was locked in on Friday. I love the Ryder Cup. I'm watching the Ryder Cup over the NFL. So I missed a lot of the comeback and that drama yesterday. I've of course seen some of the things from Rory McIlroy, and we'll get into all of that because I do think that's interesting stuff. And it'll get a little out of sight, out of mind, but we'll kind of take a broader look around the sports weekend. We have Josh Briscoe coming up in the second hour as we'll dig deep into the Chiefs. We had TJ's take on KU. He was there in person on Saturday. And a lot of other fun stuff to get to here. Sunday Night Football went long last night. 40-40 tie between the Cowboys and the Packers. I'll be honest, TJ, I thought the Cowboys were going to get housed in that game. I don't know what to make of the entire day in the NFL. It was drinking early a little bit yesterday, and often as it typically does on an NFL Sunday. We thought the Packers might be one of the best teams in football. They haven't looked like that the last couple of weeks. The Bills struggled a little bit against the Saints. They're weird. The 49ers lost at home as they finally start to get healthy to the team the Chiefs go visit next week, the surprising 3-1 Jaguars. Here we go again with the NFL. Like, all bets are off, and we get two Monday Night Football games tonight.
Yeah, last night, you know, as I said, I was driving around, just fired up the game while I was driving home from Kansas City, and I heard, something about the Cowboys driving down the field, and I was like, I looked up at one point in the press box, and I think it was like a 2-score game or something like that, and then I just heard take the lead for the Cowboys, and I was like, whoa, what is going on in this game? What did I miss? This is nuts.
All game long. I mean, it just kept doing that over and over and over again. But the Cowboys kind of hung in there. They got to be happy with that. Micah Parsons, not really much of a factor in the game, if we're being perfectly honest. Dallas, I think, you know, if we were judging that game based on Jerry Jones versus Micah Parsons, that was probably a win for Jerry Jones. You know, it was obviously more than that. The Cowboys, the problem for the Cowboys is, and this is coming from a Cowboys fan, like, they're not going to be good enough to do what they want to do. So all of this stuff is a little bit bittersweet now, because, like, to at least for me, like, everything points to next year for them this year. But you know, they picked a game to play well after they didn't play particularly well a week ago. How about the Chargers falling to the Giants and probably the surprise of the year? We'll bring this back to the Chiefs, and we'll bring this up with Joshua Briscoe in the next hour. But you see the Giants beat the Chargers. Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo, the young rookies, kind of leading the way there on a day where they lose Malik Nabers for the season. That's a big win for them, but obviously we're more focused on the Chargers. TJ, the Chargers lose another tackle, another all-world caliber tackle. That's two of them down now. I'm telling you, because my wife is a Chargers fan, a loose one now, not as much as she used. There is not a more snake-bitten franchise when it comes to injuries than the Chargers. It's insane. And now with that loss and with another loss of an offensive lineman, they don't seem quite as dangerous as they did a week ago.
Yeah, I was talking to Michaela Day over at Cake at the Chiefs game yesterday, and she's from San Diego area. And I said, man, week 3 Super Bowl champions for the Los Angeles Chargers, and now back to reality, AFC West chases on for the Kansas City Chiefs. So it does feel like it's just we talked about this last night, and we'll relate it back to the Chiefs. I mean, it was a massive swing for the Chiefs to beat the Ravens the way they did and the Chargers to lose the way that they did. You know, that's a two-game swing, basically, or a full-game swing if you're looking at standings-wise. So that was definitely a result that we didn't have on our bingo card. I think it was like a touchdown favorites or something like that. And they go lose. Yeah. So,
which, look, the Jackson Dart thing was a wild card. Like I put the Chargers in a couple parlays. Didn't feel great about it because you just never know with a rookie quarterback, especially one that can run, what that's going to do to the opposition. And sure enough, his legs were a major factor in the game. He looked okay. He looked pretty good. And we'll see what they're able to do now because they'll be extremely limited in Malik Nabers. But that's a tough loss for the Chargers. And we'll, you know, the Chiefs sit at 2-2 now, not 1-3. They can absolutely catch. We'll see what Denver does tonight against a hobbled Bengals team. I suspect the Bengals will play a little better than they did a week ago. But, you know, we saw the Raiders lose yesterday in a game they probably are heartbroken about. If we have to pick a champ right now, it's going to be tough. It'll be tough. We got to see the Chiefs get through this. You know, on the other side of that Chiefs game, the Ravens, TJ, now at 1-3. I was never going to be worried about a Ravens 1-3 record until Lamar Jackson left the game with a hamstring injury. And that does concern me a little bit. Their defense has looked awful, but their defense looked awful a year ago. And then by the end of the year got much better. So I've kind of like tried not to look at that and be like, okay, they're in big trouble because the defense last year got better. But if Lamar Jackson's hurt, if he's got a hamstring injury, one of the more nagging, lingering injuries there are, now we're starting to get into a little bit of trouble zone there for the Ravens, who have a decent backup quarterback in Derrick Henry still. But this looks a little different at 1-3 with an injured Lamar Jackson than it would have otherwise.
Yeah, the one point of optimism that we've made over the last week is the fact that their schedule is vastly different than the Kansas City Chiefs' schedule. You know, their division is, you know, kind of stinks without Joe Burrow in it. Like, they're going to have chances to win games, even if it comes without the star guys that they have. You know, they should win those games. You know, it's been a slow start to the season for them so far. But, I mean, the teams that they've played are unreal. Like, what was it they've done? Bills, Lions, Chiefs within 4 weeks of football. So that's
their
a tough draw.
Gets much easier.
That's what I'm saying. So I think that, you know, I don't know what Lamar's injury is going to be, if it's going to be a nagging thing, if it's going to slow him down. But the thing is, if you're talking about the defensive injuries, I think that, you know, we've seen the Ravens, they're a little bit like the 2018-2019 Chiefs, where it's just, let's just go outscore somebody, and they can. So if Lamar is hurt, it's going to change that a little bit, as you're saying. But I think that I imagine it's not going to be a huge longstanding thing. I don't think it was a, you know, he got up and walked off type of thing. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to make any predictions or anything like that. But so,
well, even if it just limits him, I mean, a hamstring, if it limits his ability to run, changes things for them a little bit. We'll see. A couple of the big statement wins, the Rams, the Eagles, the Steelers probably need to count in there. The Lions need to count in there. A lot of good teams did good things. The Buccaneers just about got it done, even without Mike Evans, which I thought was interesting. Philadelphia feels to me, TJ, like Kansas City last year. They are just sort of finding ways, different ways, in fact, to get it done. Jalen Hurts, efficient again. They didn't run the ball particularly well. They didn't throw the ball particularly well. They only had 200 total yards of offense, and they win the game 31-25. That feels like what the Chiefs did to people last year. Like, here we go again. You just look up and you're like, oh, the Eagles have won now like 20 of their last 21 games. I think they've won all 18 of the ones Jalen Hurts has started in that stretch. Like, they are just a crafty team that continues to find a way. They're 4-0. They have played the Chiefs, they've played the Bucks, they've played the Cowboys. Their offense hasn't looked great at all. They're 4-0. Their defense didn't even look great yesterday. And they're doing that Chiefs thing from a year ago where you're just like, how are they doing this?
Yeah, it was a crazy week across the NFL. That's for sure. It was a ton of fun. Following everything, as we've said, you know, this is kind of the time whenever you start to think about, you know, you think about the percentages of records of, if you have this, then you have this percent chance to make the playoffs. You have this percent chance to, you know, win a division, everything like that. And so the outcome yesterday definitely shaped that up a little bit.
The Lions look good again. They're the other team that's kind of sits at power rankings. They have an impressive win over the Browns. I wouldn't overreact to the score of that game. It got a little weird there at the end. The Lions, even though they scored 34 points, were not the juggernaut offense they had been. They had two big defensive plays that led to touchdowns late in the game that really, you know, lifted that score up to where it was. But they also look pretty good. Bottom line for me is the Eagles are holding court, but they're not looking amazing. Like, it's a pretty open year. And we've thought that all along, right? But it does feel like there are more teams this year that have a shot, like even more than just having a playoff appearance, but would have a legitimate shot to win a Super Bowl. It does feel like there are more than there typically are. Usually we're having a conversation about three or four teams right now, but I think it's quite a bit bigger than that this year.
Yeah, that's what we talked about, is that it feels like it's the, you know, the Big 12 from a year ago, you know. Yep, so everybody's going to get beat up. Like, I don't think that there's going to be I don't think there's going to be a two-loss team going to the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, do you think that there will be? Like, the Eagles might have a chance.
The Eagles will be the best chance because they're so crafty. But no, yeah. I don't think I would say that I think there will be. I would, if we're putting the number at two, I would say the best team in football will have at least three losses.
Yeah.
So I'm with you in that sense.
After that, though, I think there may be like one or two with three, and then I think that there's going to be a drop-off. I don't think there's going to be the upper echelon type of thing. I think it's going to be like a, you know, really like one, two teams, and then it's going to be like 12 that could, you know.
Yeah, it'll be tight. It'll be tight. Look, I think the Bills are going to have a hard time not winning 13 games this year because of the division that they play in and the fact that they've been able to navigate some dicey situations already. I mean, they're 4-0. And they've survived any, they'll be fine. I think they're going to get up there. Philadelphia, after winning the games they've already won, probably will too. And that's probably it. I mean, those are your best two chances. We'll see, we'll see tonight. None of these teams are going to be a real factor. I don't know. Maybe you believe in the Broncos. I don't think that I do. They'll probably look okay against the banged up Bengals tonight, but I'm not in really on the Broncos.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about the AFC West, I think I still like the Chargers more than I like the Broncos.
Three combined wins for the four teams playing tonight on Monday Night Football. I'm not sure why. Now look, Bengals Broncos before the Joe Burrow injury looked like it was going to be an incredible game. Jets Dolphins. Are we really that obsessed with the New York television audience that we need to go Jets Dolphins? Nobody this offseason would have looked at that and been like, ooh, we got to get in on that Jets Dolphins game on Monday Night Football. Like, come on. There are a million games you could have put there.
The Dolphins are wearing their new jerseys on Monday Night Football. The rivalry's coming back out tonight. They're nowhere near as cool as the Cardinals, though.
I don't think I've seen those. You can hear both of those, by the way, tonight here on our family of networks. It's football. Look, we're going to watch it. I act like I'm so offended. I'll be watching every snap probably of both games if I can. We've got Cincinnati and Denver. That will be right here on KFH. And then Jets Dolphins moves over to KNSS. So both games will be covered as part of our Westwood One coverage here. You'll be able to hear them both if you're driving around. So stay tuned. All right, we'll come back. It's All Brockton Cleveland. We got another hour. We've got Joshua Briscoe coming up to dig in deep on the Chiefs. We've got Jalen Thompson to give a Royals postmortem. Officially, season's over. We'll do them both next. In the next hour, stick around.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.